Welcome to Beyond the Frontline Podcast, where your hosts, U.S. Air Force veterans, Donna Hoffmeyer and Jay Johnson, will help you transition from the front line to the home front. Listen every other Wednesday, as they will bring great conversations, resources, tips, and feel-good stories that will resonate and relate. Now, here's your hosts, Donna Hoffmeyer and Jay Johnson.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to another amazing episode of Beyond the Front Lines. This is Jay Johnson, and I am joined by the queen
there
of the podcast.
Is.
Yeah, she waits on it. She waits on it. The one, the only, Donna Hoffmeyer. Donna, what is going on with you?
Good morning. The queen. I haven't trained. You noticed
yeah.
that, right?
Yeah, now it only took 17 episodes.
But we didn't start the queen until, like, four episodes.
Don't make people believe that this was an easy transition for me. This wasn't easy. What's going on with you? We always like to just jump in and tell people a little bit about what's happening in our world before we get into the content.
Yeah, good things. Just startup is starting up. I'm getting logos finalized. I'm getting marketing done. I am launching the other side of my business with coaching mentoring for veterans.
Yeah.
At the same time, because two is better than one, right? Why do one startup when you can do two? So we're doing all of that at the same time. And it's August, so you know what month that is. That's get ready for school start, right? At the end of this month, we all start school. Well, we, as in our children.
Yep.
Holy Lord. And so, yes, my daughter has made a list of the things I need to buy, where we need to go, when we need to do it. And my son's over there like, when school start?
I don't miss any of that.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm glad I'm done with every bit of that.
You are. Well, you had a little genius child that got done at like 16 years old.
So. Yeah, I don't know. She thinks she's more of a genius maybe than.
They all think they're more of a genius.
But look, no, she did. She knocked it out. She's very much self-paced and directed. And
she is.
She wanted done with that action.
But that's the first.
She's got more to do, right? That's what I tell her all the time. You're not done yet. That's what I say to all of you listening into business professionals. You're not done yet.
Well, have you seen that picture, that visual of climbing the mountain, right? So the person climbs the mountain, and then the next picture you see a bigger mountain behind it, right? Yeah. And that's what it's all about, right?
There's always something new. If we're going to stay growth minded and if we're going to stay refreshed, you know, I think we shouldn't take time to have some introspective time, be self-reflective, decompress, plug in, recharge, whatever we want to say.
Absolutely.
You and I've talked about that on past episodes, that it's really important. But I think what we can't let happen is that we become stale. We can't we can't sit in one place and just be lazy. And I've had people tell me when they were retiring, oh, you know what? I'm not going to work again. And some of them do okay with that for a little while, but I don't know that I've met a single one that retired and then didn't find something new to plug into. And I don't mean just going out and golfing every day. It'd be great if any of us could do that.
Anything.
But yeah, like a hobby, volunteering, or they eventually get to a place where, you know, I feel like I've still got more to give, and they go jump back into some other kind of career, whether it's part-time, full-time, something they created. I don't know.
Well, they have to keep that mind active. I mean, I remember actually when I used to work, my last job, and as a nurse, I worked with a lot of people with PTSD, right? Mm. So the saying always that we had when I worked with the service members dealing with PTSD was like, hey, there's going to be peaks and troughs. The only deal is that you can hit the peak and you can hit the trough, but you can't unpack in the trough.
Yeah.
That's it. And really that kind of applies to our life, right? We have peaks and troughs. And when we're down in the trough, you don't get to unpack there. You have to go climb back up to the peak.
It's the way I coach people. You know, a lot of times they're looking at the whole elephant and they're overwhelmed. And I'm like, let's break it down to bite-sized portions, right? What's one thing you can do right now that's going to move you closer to where you desire to be? And so that one step, right? Just some kind of staying in motion is really important.
Well, and the funny thing is, it's the little things that add up, right?
Yeah.
So when you're staying in motion, you're always thinking of the next thing, right? You look for all those opportunities,
leads us to today. Which is kind of fun because we've got a guest that I think everybody's going to really enjoy hearing from, because he's somebody you and I both know well. He's a more recently retired Air Force vet. You two probably retired kind of close to one another, him after you, but fairly close. But why don't you tee up who our guest is and what the topic is that he's bringing today?
Well, we are introducing one Theron Van Meter. And I have to say this because I read it and then I smiled. He's from Dequeen, Arkansas.
Okay? Oh, there's the word again.
No, I the reason why I'm laughing is because my son, when he was little, adored Lightning McQueen.
Oh.
But he couldn't say McQueen, so it was always Lightning Dequeen. And I didn't know there was a Dequeen, Arkansas.
Well, there we have it. So that's cool. I didn't know that either.
All right. So that was just a side note. That was a side note, but I thought that was cute. So Theron, actually, we know him from the chamber, and he has his own business. And when we all met, then we found out that he actually did a DoD program called SkillBridge. And I was intrigued by that because we actually brought the SkillBridge head person in San Antonio, right? He was on our last podcast. So we brought him in, and we actually had him come speak to our breakfast.
That's right.
And so I thought, ooh, I'm intrigued. Like, we have somebody that's running it, but now there's somebody that's actually done the program.
First-hand experience.
That's right. So I'm going to talk a little bit about Theron's background. Then we're going to talk to Theron about the SkillBridge program, his experiences, how he transitioned out, how he found SkillBridge, how he got into it, and how he's doing what he's doing now.
Yeah, this is cool. This is cool. So tell the world about
it. So, like as I said, he's from Dequeen, Arkansas. He joined the Air Force when he was 18, 21 years in the Air Force, 6 duty assignments, and multiple deployments in TDYs. When he came here to San Antonio as one of his duty assignments, he met his awesome wife. And I will say she's awesome because I've met her and friends with her, and I think she's awesome.
I like her a lot more than him.
I honestly do too, but don't tell him that. So, and then I've met her, and after they retired, they came back here because her family's here. And when he was within the last 6 months, he decided to participate in SkillBridge, and he actually did it through home inspection, right? And we'll talk about that in a minute, why he went that way. And he did that with somebody. And then from there, between that and SkillBridge, he was actually able to start his own business.
Yeah, this is cool.
Home inspection. So he now is the owner of Silver Spur Property Inspections as of February 22.
That's awesome.
So February this year, right?
Yeah.
And he is now growing.
So that makes it, what, about 6 months into his journey?
Six months, which I think is perfect because I love when we bring in newer people or more experienced people. And really in this series, we're going to have new experienced guys, girls, franchises, startups. So it'll be fun.
You know what I gravitated to real quick, Donna, as you get ready to welcome him in, is 21 years. You served how long?
21 years.
I served 21 years.
Magic number.
Anyway, yeah, I don't know what it is about. So any of our podcast listeners, if you have a unique skill set, you've been through SkillBridge, you desire to be interviewed on the show, you know, the first criteria is you have to have served 21 years. I'm just kidding. It's criteria.
This is more for the people that are getting ready to get out. If you're in the last year, listen up, because this is definitely for you guys to hone in on. So with no further ado, hello, Theron.
Hey, Donna, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good today.
Good, good, good.
Brother, it's good to see you. And we're glad that you're joining us on the podcast.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. So we are going to start with you were serving.
Okay.
You are getting within the last couple of years of service. What's going on in your mind at this time? But what did you do in the service, first of all? Let me ask that.
I was a carpenter. I was in civil engineering, so on Red Horse squadrons all over the Air Force.
Ah, you are busy. So for our audience that doesn't really know what that means to the Air Force, we hear Red Horse and we're like, oh, you're busy. Those are our civil engineer groups that go out. They go to deployed locations and they essentially, for simplicity, they build the base.
Yeah, austere location, build it up.
Yep. When nothing's there, when we come in to set down, like medical comes in, it's built for us. And that's our Red Horse guys. Runways, everything, you name it, they're doing it. So they're pretty awesome.
And because we're Air Force, air conditioning, carpet.
Oh, that's right.
You know, I mean,
and
have that. You got to have that air conditioning.
So, all right. So you did Red Horse, and then you're coming within your last couple of years. And what's going on?
So I knew I wanted to move back to San Antonio. And I knew that home inspections is what I wanted to do. So I started reaching out and trying to find home inspection companies that I could potentially do skill bridge with. And I found an old boss of mine here in San Antonio that I used to work for in the Air Force. And he lives here and he has this home inspection company. So I reached out to him and asked him if I could do skill bridge with him.
Why home inspection? What was the draw for that?
I think it was a good fit. I had been around construction for, like I said, 21 years in the Air Force. I knew I wanted to own my own business doing something. I didn't want to be a builder. You know what I'm saying? I didn't want to do anything like that. And I thought this was a good fit for it.
So I'm going to point this out because a couple episodes ago, we had on Alicia Brown, who specialized like resumes and federal resumes. But what we talked about was soft skills, right? So all your skills that you had in Red Horse, building in all that knowledge of what you could see and what it translated well over to home inspection, right?
Like, it is.
Not building anything like a Red Horse is, but you have the eyes and the trained eyes to be able to learn some more skills and really excel at it, you know, based on all your background. So that's
absolutely, that helped me a lot. My experience in the Air Force, being around all that, helps me a lot in what I do today.
Awesome.
So you got your, someone who was a prior colleague, a boss, somebody you worked for in the past, and you reached out to them. He agreed. Yeah, I'll take you on to come do this. How long did you spend with him? What did that look like for the casual listener that, I, you know, they just got to hear last episode from the guy overseeing the program, so they now have an idea what it does. What did it look like for you as you're now getting this opportunity to shadow and hang with someone you've known a while?
Well, I'll kind of start from the beginning, I guess. I reached out to him about 2 years prior to me retiring, so I reached out to him and he agreed. And then I thought it was going to be a much simpler process than it was. And part of that's my fault. I was deployed when I hit my 1 year out mark. I was deployed. I pushed a button to retire and I was deployed. And I reached out to him again and I asked him, I verified he wanted that he was willing to do it for me. And he agreed. And so I just kind of waited until I got back to Little Rock Air Force Base, which is where I was stationed at. And I waited and waited. And then I finally got back and went to the education office, talked to the education office, and they told me, no, you cannot do it with him. And I was, well, what do you mean I can't do it with him, right? And so there's a few different things that went into it, the size of his company and this, that, and the other, as to why they said no. So I went back and I started looking at other companies to go with. I think there was an irrigation company I was going to do it with here in San Antonio that I looked into. There was a home builder that I looked into doing it with. And I liked what they had to say. I just didn't, it's not what I wanted to do, right? So I went back, I circled back and talked to the education office again. And they told me no again. And so I got disappointed and irritated a little bit, I guess, and pondered on it. Then I started doing a lot of research on it. And I found a way to do it with my commander. I talked to my commander at the time. And she said, as long as she signs off on it, she approves it, then it's her, she's the one that signs on the line. So she agreed to let me do it. And that's when I started doing it.
So real quick, Theron, what I hear you saying, one, persistence comes out to me, right? You
absolutely
took no initially, went out there, considered some other things, but you knew what you were really looking for and you stayed really persistent. And that last part was the education office wasn't the approval authority. Is that what I hear you saying? Your commander was the approval authority.
That is correct.
Wow. Yeah,
which is good and bad. I mean, it's good that you had a supportive commander. Unfortunately, like I tried to go through SkillBridge and whatever was going on in our office and whatnot, I wasn't authorized to go. They wouldn't allow me to go. And believe it or not, we've talked with Jose before and he's like, it happens quite a bit. So kudos that you had a commander that was supportive. And, you know, if there's anybody in the audience listening that's in leadership, this is a solid program to help your guys transition over. So a lot of people are just like, oh, I can't bear to lose them. You really need to sit and look at that and see what that truly looks like, because in their last 6 months, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
They're trying out process. I mean, do you really, really need them there? You know, you have to really assess that.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious as I think about that. Again, and if you're listening to this podcast and you hadn't heard the previous one, think of SkillBridge like an internship where you're still drawing your active duty pay while you're out there getting an opportunity to intern in a field
right.
That's been approved. Now we know by the commander, the education office, it sounds like, is the program coordinator for this, but the commanders are the approval. But it gives them a chance to go out there and begin to kind of dabble in some other areas. It's good for the community, right? It's good for business because they're getting an asset that they're getting to try and test. And it's really, most importantly, I think, good for the service member.
And it's not geared, like, you know, you did a small business and that is viable. And I know we've talked with Jose in the past, and they work that as they look at, they're more engaged out here. I don't know what every other place is like, but they're definitely more engaged with the business owners here. And so small business, corporate, you know, they do all of that, you know. And I knew somebody that went to a horse farm and wanted to learn more about horses and equine. They might have done equine therapy out there, but wanted to learn more about that. So the sky's the limit on what you can do. It's just like you said, supportive commander to let you go and find what you're looking for and advocate, you know. So
let's talk real quick, Theron. Maybe your perspective, having gone through this now, now you're out there doing this. What were the parts of the process that you enjoyed the most, whether that is in the application process, the approval process, the internship process? And what did you find to be more challenging than you anticipated?
What I enjoyed the most, I think, was the opportunity that it provided me to separate from the Air Force, to still be employed, working, still getting a paycheck from the Air Force, and doing that transition so that I'm building up what I'm doing next, right? That was important for me. Like you said earlier, there's all the people out there that retire, get out, and decide they don't want to do anything. And I think that's a problem for a lot of people. And this provided me the opportunity to transition into my next step very easily, right? And the program was the company that I worked for SkillBridge. You know, he didn't have inspections every single day. Most weeks he did, but on the days he did not have inspections, he I would stay at the house and I would study, because there's for home inspections, there's a coursework you have to do that's in there to get your Texas license. So to take full advantage of it, I mean, I just stayed at home, opened my computer up and studied, and it allowed me to do that. And I would not have been able to had I still been going to work every day for the Air Force.
So you bring up something that actually we talked about at the veterans breakfast was not, you know, this is the 0.1%, you know, but they're the 0.1% of people that were not doing what you were doing, which was, if there was not home inspection going that day, I was studying for certification and learning that. So you were always doing something. Mm-hmm. There were people that were like not going, you know, like, so the business is not getting them, and SkillBridge doesn't know that they're not going, and the commander doesn't have them at work, right? It's like the shuffle with the coconut, right? Where's the person? And so we had that conversation with Jose, and that is one thing that SkillBridge is doing, is becoming more engaged with the businesses.
Accountability.
Right? For the accountability to kind of knock out that 0.1% and mitigate that risk. But this program, I mean, it is just silly to try to take advantage for your own benefit and then not go do it. I mean, you get to learn skills for free. Yeah. The business owner gets the beauty of having somebody that they can teach these skills to, with always the possibility of hire. They never guarantee it. SkillBridge That's will right. tell you straight up, this is not a program that we're going to get you your job. It is there to gain skills. However, a lot of people come out that door and they're like, hey, I want to keep you. I'd like you to work with me. And they get the opportunity to stay put and do that for a while they maybe build what they want to do next, right? Or they say, hey, thanks, but I actually want to go do XYZ. No harm, no foul. Nobody's offended. That is the nature of the program. How do you lose out on that?
Yeah, it's good. I think that sounds a little bit like other internship programs, right? Mm-hmm. There's not a guarantee in them.
Other internships don't get paid a full salary.
No, I agree. But in that one nuance, it sounds very similar. So here's what I'm interested in, Theron. What were the expectations as they described to you? Were there any? Did you have any kind of report back expectation? Did they say, we want to hear from you from time to time? You brought up licenses and certifications. Not all careers are going to require that. What you're doing now, did anyone help you pay for that? Was that all you funded? So maybe help the listeners understand those things.
I tried to find a program that my GLBA would pay for, but I was unsuccessful in doing so. I came out of pocket for my training and certifications, but the program that I went through gave me 50% off, I believe it was it. Oh, they gave me 50% off for being a military veteran. I think a lot of the home inspector programs out there do the same thing. But as far as the expectations from the education office, there wasn't many. They didn't, as far as I know, they didn't reach out to me the whole time I was on SkillBridge. And they didn't reach out to my boss the entire time I was on SkillBridge either. So, but he was prior military himself. If he had any problems, he wouldn't have hesitated to reach out. He knew who to contact, right? But we didn't have any problems. But as far as I know, nothing was official back to the education office or anything.
Wow.
My personal leadership reached out to me a few times, but just to verify that everything was going good and this, that, and the other.
I think that's
other than that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the part that I think that was causing the problem is that there was no, you know, once you were there, you kind of were there and you weren't at SkillBridge office. You weren't at your work job. You were over there. And then if that was a civilian entity, I think there was a struggle with like, well, what if we have a problem? Who do we contact? And Jose, I remember when we had that discussion, you know, they said, you know, like we have reach back now and contacts, and they've kind of closed that gap on that. Yeah. So they've improved it in that sense. So
you used the word earlier, Theron, you said separated, still receiving pay. You were still officially on active duty, true, just kind of in a pending retired status in this program. You weren't actually separated.
Correct. I started SkillBridge in June. I didn't actually retire until November.
You have to have 6 months. That is a requirement, is that you have to have 6 months to do it. Yeah. I have heard, now don't validate me on this, but I have heard that if somebody wants to do it, they have done kind of worked it out hybridly. And I think that's a case by case thing. Like if the commander might let them go 3 days a week and we need them this day for something, you know, I have heard of that. I don't know if that's a standard or rule or a case by case kind of thing.
Well, I was thinking about that earlier, listening to Theron. So Theron, no PT, right? no mandatory commander's calls. None of that, right?
None of that stuff. Totally,
once you got accepted into the program, away you went.
No additional duties.
I did mine out of state. I was still stationed in Arkansas, in Little Rock.
Yeah.
And I came to San Antonio to do it. So there was none of that.
That's awesome. Well, let's talk about, if you don't mind, you know, we may come back to some of this just so our listeners know. Donna and I always bring you all, our listeners, organic, natural conversations. And we step into these oftentimes as curious as you on the receiving end may be. So, Theron, talk about now you're out there. In this case, it's home inspecting, but it could be anything. But you did home inspecting. Talk about what transpired over the 6 months that you were in the program with your boss. You said there weren't inspections every day. When you didn't have them, you were studying. But what was really reinforcing to you that this is what you wanted to do? What do you enjoy? What is it? What is a day in the life of a home inspector look like?
Well, I really enjoyed it from the beginning. You know what I mean? I got out there and I started getting into it. And I was learning a lot. And I picked up on it fast. You know, like you said earlier, I had the experience from construction in the past. So I picked up on it real quick. And yeah, I just really enjoyed doing it. And I knew that's what I wanted to do. And so I kept going with it. Typically right now, I'll get up in the mornings and my inspections start at 9 a.m. And I'll get up and I'll load my programs and check my schedule and make sure everything is loaded correctly. And then I'll go out to the home and do an inspection. It'll take me anywhere between 3.5 to 4 hours to do it, you know, depending on how big it is. And right now I'm only doing one inspection a day. I'm not trying to do two a day right now. I'm trying to speed my processes up and fix a couple of things, but I'm doing one a day. So after the inspection is done, I'll come home. I'll sit down. I'll write the report. I'll get everything ready to go. I'll verify everything and then I'll send it off. And then I'll get on Facebook and Instagram and do a little bit of marketing, or I'll go to networking events, chamber events and stuff like that. That's
so checking roofs, climbing in attics, checking HVAC systems. What am I missing? I mean, you really do a thorough, right? Both for the seller and the buyer, you're doing a really thorough, and for the mortgage lender, quite frankly, right? So what are you doing? What are the core things that you do when you go out to a job site?
Okay. I'll get out to home and typically I'll start on the outside. I'll verify that the grading is correct. You don't have water running into your foundation and stuff like that. And then I'll move on to your walls and I'll check and make sure all your siding is good. All your ceilings are good. Your windows are good. I'll look up on your soffits and your fascia. I'll make sure that's not a rotted, dry rot away, anything like that. And I'll check your hose bibs. I'll check your water pressure of your house. I'll look at your air conditioning unit from the outside. I'll make sure it's good to go. I'll make sure it has the right setup and the clearances and stuff like that. And I do a walk around the whole house on the outside. And I look at all those things as I walk around. I'll typically do about 3 trips around the house. I look at different things on each trip. If I'm looking all over the place on one trip, then I'll miss stuff. So I look at the foundation on one trip, you know what I mean? Like a good visual of the foundation and the walls and anything else on the walls. After that's over, I'll get up on the roof and I'll put my ladder up and I climb up on the roof and inspect the roof and make sure there's no missing shingles, make sure they're not 40-year-old shingles need to be replaced or anything like that. Make sure the flashing is good up there, but make sure there's no leaking going on that I can visually see from the outside. After that, I'll move into the house and I'll go inside the house and I'll check all your floors first. And I'll move on to all the ceilings in the house. And then I'll move around to all the walls of the house. I'll check all your appliances as I'm doing that. Right about that time, I'll kick on your air conditioner. And if you have a basement, I'll go down your basement. Most homes around here don't have basements. There are a few, but there's not many of them. And then I'll jump up in your attic. I'll check your roof structure out from your attic. I'll look for visual signs of water penetration from inside the attic. I'll check your insulation levels. I'll check your air conditioner out from your attic unit in your attic and make sure that it's not leaking and this, that, and the other. And after I'm done in your attic, I'll come back down and I'll pull your temperatures on your AC unit. And then depending on the temperatures outside, I'll kick your heater on. If it's above a certain degrees outside, I can't turn your heater on. It will risk damaging it. But
you're not turning any heater on right now.
I'm sorry.
So I bet you're not turning any heaters on right now.
No, not right now. Unless they're gas. I'll turn gas ones on. But I'll check your heat. If it's the right temperature outside, I'll check your heat. And then I'll go around and I'll check all your vents in your house, make sure all your vents are actually blowing air, make sure they're not clogged up. And that's another thing that I look at inside the attic. When I'm in the attic, I check all the ductwork up there and make sure that it's not kinked and or bent too sharply and restricting airflow. That's in the other. I check all your receptacles, make sure your receptacles are wired correctly, make sure they have power, make sure the 221s have 220, make sure the 110s have 110. Yeah, that's about sums it up right there, I guess. Well, I'm sure there's more I'm missing.
No, it's extensive.
An irrigation test also. Make sure your sprinklers work outside if you want that. That's an add-on, but it's not much.
So that's the operational side. You know, there's a lot. I mean, I don't think people understand like how much an inspector is looking at and how critical it is. I mean, you go to buy a house and I really want to know my inspector knows what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So that's the operational side of it. I'm going to swing you back a little bit to the business side.
Okay.
Side that nobody likes. I don't like my business side either. But on the business side of it, how did you go from you were in SkillBridge and you were seeing you were with your, you know, mentor, you were doing your learning and all that. Then how'd you go from that to your business? Like, did you have to front money? Did you have to, how were you financially supporting yourself while you were starting? Because you had a family. I mean, this isn't like you were, you know, just you. You had a whole family that you had to support, you know. So how did that all look? You know, that's definitely always a curiosity question.
Well, I did start off. I didn't get a loan or anything like that. I went out and I fronted the money for myself. And it wasn't that much. It was about $8,000 when it's all said and done for the all the tools that I bought and the classwork included. It was all about $8,000. And I'm currently in the process of upgrading my tools and buying more tools to offer more services in the future.
That's a guy thing. Everybody, all the guys want to upgrade their tools. My husband wants to upgrade his tools all the time.
There's nothing wrong with that. You got to do it. But as far as financially goes, yeah, oh, you're right. I have a family support. So I took on a second job. I took on a part-time job. I work there, still do today. I work there, not nearly as much now as I used to, as my business is growing. But I took on a part-time job at a private.
I would call that a lifeboat job, Theron, right? I mean, we've talked about that in these sessions before, because you know what you're building, you know what you're moving towards. Donna and I have talked on past episodes that starting up isn't a windfall, meaning you just don't have it coming at you from everywhere, and you've got to be able to survive. You have your retirement pay, which I always like to say my retirement pay keeps a roof over my head and the lights on, but it's not going to allow much else, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it's great, Theron, that you just told listeners, this is what I knew I wanted, what I was building, and yet I was still willing to do this. Went out and found a job, lifeboat, creating some additional income while you were building. I just thought that was really important.
Was your part-time job also home inspection? Is that what you do?
No. My part-time job was facility maintenance for a private Christian school.
That's awesome.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. So you're doing that part-time, and then you're building the business. And this isn't a franchise, let me be clear, right? This is you starting up your own business.
That is correct.
You don't even have the support of a franchise, which is there, you know, pay us this, we'll do your marketing, you know, whatever it is.
It's
all you.
He and his bride. Yeah.
And she does a lot also.
Yeah, I know that's true.
Does she work also, or does she work for the business, or both?
She has a full-time job right now. She's had it for 10, 15 years.
Okay. So she has a
long-time parameter.
That's good. And then she helps with the business.
She helps with the business. She does a lot of
unpaid secretary.
I think helps is an understatement. She does a lot of work for the business. She does a lot of the social networking and networking and this, that, and the other.
We had a long talk about that when we just went to the chamber mixer, and like me and her and another person there, we were all talking and we were all laughing because she was like, oh, I hate marketing. And we're like, we do too.
Yeah.
It was like we hate marketing support.
For any of our marketing people out there, thank you for what you do, right? It's, we're not denigrating it. We're just saying that's not our forte.
No, it's not our forte. And as military, we do not like, I don't care. You know, people see me loud and talking and laughing and all that. And then actually even Allison, your wife, said, oh my God, I was surprised when you said you didn't like marketing. I'm like, just because I'm loud doesn't mean I like to be out there. I mean, it's not comfortable. And military people, it's not comfortable at all. I mean, we're very happy to be in the background watching the magic happen. And
there's a few of us that don't mind being out front.
Well, you might like being out front. You know that, Theron, right? He's loud and proud and likes to be out there and showboat, all that stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, his bride actually works on this side of town where you
and I
are. Yeah, Theron didn't like us enough to move out this way, though. He wanted to get it further away.
Yeah, I know. He didn't come to our side of the world.
Yeah, the dark side.
The dark side, the east side. Well, the northeast side.
So, Theron, talk about then this progression. You know, you said, hey, you've been working this part-time job really from the get-go, but I just heard you say, hey, you're starting to trail that back. So 6 months into owning Silver Spur, right? Home inspections, things are taking off. So talk about that. What does that growth look like for you?
The growth in the business?
Yeah.
Is what you mean?
Yeah. How have you gone out there and began to create this brand and this name for yourself?
So most of my growth has come mostly from networking. I don't get much from my social media yet. I'm still building that. But I know that will come later if we continue doing it. I get most of my networking from a face-to-face interaction and talking and doing this. I've done inspections for friends of mine that were buying a house or selling a home, and their agents liked my report so much that after that home was bought and purchased, the agents would refer me to their next client, right? So I've been growing like that, and I find every opportunity I can to just get out and meet as many people as I can. And that's how I'm growing my business right now.
Word of mouth, right?
Word of mouth. That's great.
There's something, Theron, I don't mean to step on you, Don, as you probably are wanting to step in here, and I just keep throwing lobbing balls up. There's something you and I, though, were a part of in the past, ever briefly together. But one of the things we talked about in there was this formula called VCP. Visibility leads to credibility equals profitability, right? So when I hear you talk about networking, which happens to be the same way I have built my business, I do get some from social media, but most of my business, I mine from being out in the community. So what I hear you saying is a big part of what you do is out there gripping and grinning, true?
That is correct. That is absolutely correct.
So how does that conversation work? You know, hey, this is who I am. This is what I do. Or how do you uncover the opportunity?
Theron swaps business cards with people. Yeah. And I'll put the backstory to that. It was funny because we were just at the chamber mixer and Theron and I know each other, right? So I come walking in and I look around, I see Allison, Theron, I'm like, kind of go over. And Theron goes, can I have your business card? And I'm like, huh? Like, it didn't make sense, but I'm like, oh, okay. We're at a mixer, so here you go.
Prospecting
you. And he gives me mine. Well, but I already had it. We've known each other long enough. I had his business card and he knew. So I was confused. I mean, but I just went with it.
Maybe you looked different that day.
No, wait, there's more. So I took a shower. That's probably the difference.
Oh, there we go.
So we swap cards and then, you know, that's it. And then we all start talking and, you know, get food and whatnot. And then now they come out with all the announcements, you know. Well, there were apparently, what do they call you guys?
Secret networkers, I believe is what it was.
Yeah, something like that. Secret networkers. And their job was to go around and, you know, get cards from people. And then they took those cards and then you got your name put in for a drawing for like a massage, which I didn't win. And I'm just going to say Lindsay did and she wins all the prizes. It's
not she fair. Always wins.
She always wins. She won four in a row. But anyway, point being was that's why he did it. And I remember I looked back and I'm like, oh, I said, I had no idea why you wanted my card.
We're like secret shoppers. I'm going to call Silver Spur Home Inspections and ask some tough questions and act like I'm someone else.
I'm going to go make a inspection and watch them.
Out in the 100 degree heat. This will pay him back. Yeah.
So
I need my attic looked anyway, at in the late afternoon.
That's right. To see what the temperature is. I know we had derailed on that one, but I thought it was funny when you said.
Well, I have to say to the listeners, though, I mean, we can actually see him as we're conducting the interview. They just get the audio.
I know.
As I said that just then, he gave me that look like I'll meet you out in the parking lot.
Lord, you're completely digressed and gone off the rails here.
Oh, this is what we bring our listeners.
I know they're patient with us. All right. So essentially what Jay was saying was like, how do you network? I mean, we all have our ways, but what's your way that works for you? Are you
well, I've tried, like I said, I've tried all kinds of things. I've went to open houses. I've dropped in at a realtor's office. And that's worked a little bit for me. I dropped in at a few open houses and I met a realtor and she invited me back out to do a Facebook Live video with her. And we sat there and did a Facebook Live video at the open house. This is a few weeks later, we met back up and did that. What I struggled with was I would meet people and then like try to sell myself, right? Or I'll try to sell my business. I wasn't trying to sell me. I was trying to sell my business. And that wasn't working. So I backtracked that a little bit. And I try to just be me, just be real with people and try to sell me. And that seems to have worked. That seems to be working a lot better for me these days.
Well, so. And that's, I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
I knew you were going to pop and say something, but that honestly is because you get to know you. Like I know you. And in my head, like I'm just waiting. Like my friend Kathy's a realtor and somebody else I know is a realtor. And I would, and they're always moaning, you know, like, whoever's not accessible or whatnot. And there would be nothing be like, hey, you know, I know somebody that I trust, you know, I trust that person and they're going to trust you because of me. And if it goes sideways, they're going to find me, then I'm going to go find you. Right. So that's
just what it, yeah, no, it's true.
Right.
It's a difference between a casual relationship and one where there's
an invested relationship. You know, right. I know them. I see them. I mean, when we ran into each other, you know, Theron's like, hey, where's Brian? My husband.
He's a man of integrity. Yeah. You know, he's going to do it right. That's a,
yeah. So it's a connection, you know, you're connected and I trust that person because we have a connection, you know? So when you say, it's not even really selling yourself there and it's just being yourself and people right. connecting with who you are. And that's where the sell is right there. And then the business gets the benefit of it. Right?
The business will come. Maybe not today. maybe not tomorrow, but the business will come
because they remember you and they remember like, hey, he was a good guy, you know.
Have you identified your golden gooses yet, Theron? Like, where are the symbiotic relationships? Where are the industries that tend to dovetail really well with you? Because I would think that there's some that, as you work inside of those communities, will probably present a lot of opportunity for you.
I think, obviously, real estate agents, I believe, right? And mortgage lenders, banks. I'm trying to work in an insurance angle right now. I'm not sure how that's going to pan out, but we'll see. I'm also doing some marketing toward a straight to the client for 11-month warranty inspections. So when you have a brand new home build, typically you get a 12-month warranty from the home builder. Mm-hmm. So what I'm pushing out there right now is an 11-month warranty inspection. I'll come in and inspect your home right about the 11-month mark, and I'll give you a list of, I'll inspect it just like I'm inspecting a home that's going for sale or a brand new house. I do the exact same, yes. The exact same inspection. And I'll give you a list of every single thing that I find, and you take that list, you turn it into your builder. I've done those before for people that told me after the fact. They said, we're thankful we hired you because the builder was refusing to fix anything or even a look at anything without an inspection report. I'm not saying that's the case everywhere, but it does happen.
That I would have bought in on something like that if I would have, you know, when we've been here 12 years, but I mean, that's pretty smart right there. Like, mm-hmm. Especially when you're getting ready for that warranty to end. And if you're having struggles, it allows you to, you know, because what if it's just a house you bought, right? We still have that 12-month warranty. And you come in and that allows us to say, you know what, we're going to extend that warranty another year and get this taken care of, you know, or, you know, that very smart to, it allows people, the buyer, the homeowner, to make informed choices. I mean, it's really what it is. So do you do commercial inspections or just home?
Currently, I'm just doing home inspections. I'm trying to grow this part right now. Yeah. It's a future plan of mine to add commercial inspections.
What do you see in this market? I mean, it's been zany. I mean, my realtor friends are like, they can't sell them fast enough. And now it just started cooling down a little bit. What has that been like for you as an inspector?
Right now, my business hasn't changed a whole lot. I expect to see a change. I expect to see a change one way or another in the next few weeks.
Oh, wow. That soon? You expect it to slow down or you expect it to?
I expect it to slow down a little bit. I do.
Yeah.
For me personally.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is because of the age of my business, right? If there's less homes being sold, then the inspectors that have been around for a long time.
You don't play any part in rental? And do they do anything for rentals or no? It's just.
No, I don't play around with rental.
Yeah, because I have noticed that the market tends to, I've seen it swing heavy the other way right now. I'm seeing rentals pop everywhere five months ago, six months ago, I didn't see that many.
Yeah.
So that tells you the inflation and everything, right? The economy, it's people are not able to own a home, it seems right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're just kind of screeching down. Mm-hmm. You know, they're still selling, but it's definitely contracted quite a bit. So
would you recommend SkillBridge to others?
Absolutely.
Experience good, you know, well enough that you would say, I would encourage anyone to at least look into it.
I would encourage anybody to look into it. I would also encourage, so I'm sure you talked about this last week, but the whole 6 months, you got to do your terminal leave, your skill bridge, and your, I forget what the term is for your travel days. Mm-hmm. You get to do all that within a 6 month window, right? Well, I had just gotten back from deployment. So I had a lot of leave. But I wanted to take full advantage of the SkillBridge program. So as soon as I got back from deployment, I started taking as much leave as I could just to burn it all up so it wouldn't tie into my 6 months. Right. So I took 28 days of leave, came back for 2 days and took another 15 just to burn it, just to get rid of it so that I could do 6 full months of SkillBridge. I'd recommend it to anybody
that's awesome.
Looking to I'll get out, separate, retire, whatever.
Yeah, and I angle this, like I said, to leadership. If there's any, you know, leadership that's listening to this, like, I get that everybody needs the help, but as a leader, your job is to grow your people, even when they're leaving the service. You want them going out better than they came in, and it is just a disservice when their first answer is, oh no, well, we can't afford to lose you. I'm like, well, you can, because in 6 months I'll be gone. And guess what? You won't have me. So what's really, what is the difference, right? What's 6 months? It's not anything. And, you know, it was unfortunate. And I've heard that happen multiple times to many other people, that they couldn't do the program because they were needed or whatever, you know? So if there's any leaders out there, let your people go to SkillBridge. It is worth it. It's definitely a great investment to people. So,
and this is a DoD program, just to be clear, right? We're two Air Force people talking here. And then the third, we had Theron, who's Air Force. We don't want anyone to get myopic and believe that it's just, this is a Department of Defense program.
It is a DoD program. Yes, it is. So
how about this? Go ahead.
I was just saying, another thing I would recommend, when I did the program, they required a 6 month training plan, right? Well, the guy that I was going to work for, he didn't have that written up. And if you go to another company that may have it written up, it's probably not written into a 6 month time frame, right? So I encourage everybody to write it yourself. That's what I did. I just wrote it myself
and submitted it to him.
I did the
same. All he had to do was sign it. Like, it was done. All he had to do was sign it. He signed it, sent it back to me the same day, and I submitted it. It was done.
Yes.
Don't wait on the company to sit there and do it for you, because they're not going to.
Yeah, and collaborate with them. You know, like, just like, look, this is my idea. It's their business, so they will add stuff. I did the same thing, because I was going into a very unique environment, and they had never done it before. And I said, hey, let me set up a training plan, and you guys look at it. Tell me what needs to be added. And we did the same thing, you know, we collaborated and boom, came up with the training plan. Training plans don't have to be extensive.
It wasn't hard.
They can be very basic and very simple, and it can be repetitive, right? And it's just repetitive with building, you know, it's not rocket science. So yeah, take the initiative, right? If you know where you want to go, then work on it. And if you don't, go into the education office and talk to the SkillBridge people, because they're going to help you vector you into what you want to do. Because I actually know somebody that is doing his own business now, and it's in real estate, and his goal is to buy a skyscraper one day. Actually, I think this is his goal for this year. But he started out, he was Army 4 years, enlisted, came out, and he went into companies and he just started interning with them, right? And he just started, and some he worked in these companies, and he wanted to learn, and he built up all those skills. And then he got into some real estate, and he built up that. He started his first business, got more skills, and boom, now he's doing what he really, really wants to do. It was a 5-year plan, 6-year plan, whatever it was, but he did it, and he had that goal in mind. So, you know, the sky's the limit. It's a very creative program, to be honest.
Well, and you and I have encouraged to our listeners, right? If you have an entrepreneurial bent, but you don't know what you want to do, or you haven't run across something out there you want to do, maybe it's something you create.
Yep.
You know, you could be brand new in it. You know, Theron, the question I want to ask you is probably more on the entrepreneurial side of the house. As a still what we would call a startup, you're still really new into this process. What's been the biggest learn for you so far that you wish you had known, but it's something you've learned over the course of these past few months?
I think we're going to tie that back into marketing.
Yeah.
I wish I knew a lot more now. I wish I knew more when I started, and I wish I knew more now than what I did.
Okay.
That's a whole world all on its own.
Where would you suggest somebody starts with marketing? Where would be the 101 with marketing?
I don't know yet, honestly, if I'm being honest. I don't know.
Still there.
Hire a good business coach. That would be what I
would recommend. Oh, Lord.
Hire a good coach. I know someone. Oh, sorry. That was self-serving.
I know someone, too.
You know someone.
Well, and that's a fair answer, right? I don't know right now, because you're still in the thick of it. I think based on the conversation, I'm telling you, me and Allison and Lindsay were just all commiserating on marketing the other day and how much none of us liked it, right? And I think that the 101 advice that I would give people is suck it up, buttercup. You got to do it. I mean, I hate saying that. Trust me, I hate saying that. But you have to do it, and you have to figure out where your authenticity is in it. Where's your authentic self, and show that. And when you start doing that, like you said, right, you tried to sell the business, it didn't work, and you started just being you, and then things started shifting, right? So really, we make it more complicated than it is, right? We really do. Be curious about people, want to help people, get to know people, and then get familiar with social media, because no matter what, that's just the way of the world right now.
I really find value in giving information away.
Yes. You know,
I think when you're equipping others and you're willing to not make it so transactional, like, I'll give you what I know, but only if you pay me. I don't do that. I try to give some away, right? Yes. Let me help you in this moment. Let me offer a few suggestions. And then what I generally find is those people come back to me and it turns into a transaction.
Yep.
You know, that hopefully is beneficial for both.
Just happened to me the other day that I was working with a bookstore on with my books, and they were like, oh, I was telling them about the startup I'm working on. And they were like, hey, what if you came back and taught like a little class on this, you know, just a free class? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Let's do it. You know, why not? I'm not here. I'm not the holder of all this knowledge. I'm just here to try to.
I didn't say give all your product away, all your time away, all your stuff. Right. I mean, I don't do that. Yeah. I don't do that either. Right. There are some things that are uniquely mine that it's only going to be brought out when someone enters into an agreement with me. But otherwise, I want people to be successful. That's who I am. And I think that endears us to others, right? The law of reciprocity is what we say, right? We help others, and then at some point they naturally want to help us.
Yeah, exactly that.
Hey, Theron, if somebody wanted to call and ask you questions, you know, have a private conversation with you, either about the industry you're in, maybe about the skill bridge process, or, you know, something else that maybe you said on her that said on here that resonated with everyone, how can they get in touch with you?
They can call me at 210-980-3836, or send me an email at Theron, Theron, at sspinspections.com.
And that's all going to be in our summary. Yeah. We'll have all that
there.
Yeah,
it'll be there in the summary as well. I just like that. I like, one, it shows that he's open to it, right? If he had said, I don't know that I want to release that, then, or maybe I didn't give him a chance, and he just said, assumed he had to dive straight into that, but it's good.
Call me anytime. I don't mind.
Yeah, see, I know that about you already there.
That's good. All right. So you ready to, as you say, land the plane?
Yeah, here? Let's start to land this thing.
All right. So I'm going to wrap it up, and then you can end it on the whole thing. But I think that this was awesome, Theron. First thing I want to start with is, do you have any last bits of advice to people that are in startup, people that are in wanting to do home inspections start, and people that are transitioning out of the military wanting to do something different?
I think I plugged everything in there. Just, I would say, go out there and meet as many people as you can in any startup, meet as many people as you can, make as many contacts as you can, and just be you, and business will come, I think.
Great advice. So specifically for me, I just want to hit home authenticity. You can't say it enough. If you guys are getting out there and you're just leaving the service, or honestly, in our civilian world, if you are transitioning out of your job, maybe you're in a corporate world and you want to go somewhere else that's non-corporate, or you are non-corporate and want to get into corporate, or you want to go into your own startup, whatever that transition looks like, just be authentic and the rest is going to fall into place. I believe that wholeheartedly.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'll add one ingredient. I would say sweat equity, right? Be authentic, but you have to put sweat equity into everything. So you can't sit back on your hands and talk about what you want to do. There's this saying, I think John Maxwell is who I heard say it. It could have been from someone else and he borrowed it, but the biggest gap in life exists between what we know and what we do. So we often have the best intentions. What we don't do is always put action behind what we aspire to do. So that's, I think, the first thing. And then I think just wait on me. I didn't have one, but since you told me I got to land the plane today, this is
here
what
it comes.
Yeah. The quote that came to me that I think is apropos and pertinent to this conversation is, opportunities aren't lost. They're merely found by someone else. So SkillBridge is an opportunity that exists out there that's been put in place by the Department of Defense for our transitioning veterans. And it is up to each and every one of you to go out, have a conversation at the education office, read up, make sure you understand the nuances of it, and then get really clear about what you might like to do. And what I heard our guest, Theron Van Meter, owner of Silver Spur Inspections here in the San Antonio area, what I heard him say was he started this process 2 years out from retirement. And I also heard him say he was deployed when he began doing the paperwork in the process. So he didn't let that serve as an excuse, a barrier, or an obstacle to keep him from doing what he wanted to do. And here he is, and he's very successful.
Knocking it out of the park.
Yeah, love it very much. Look, on behalf of the extraordinary podcasting co-host that I get to sit in this space each and every week, on behalf of our guests, Theron Van Meter, I just want to say to each and every one of you, I hope you found value in this episode. We look forward to interacting with you. Please reach out, correspond with us. This podcast goes out over a lot of mediums, to include YouTube, even as an audio file. Mm-hmm. Drop us a note. Let us know what you took away from it. Let us know if you have questions. But mostly, we hope that whatever you do it to the utmost of your ability and that you're wildly successful. Thanks for tuning into this episode.
Have a great week, everyone.
Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to Beyond the Frontline, a podcast of Coming Home Well. Join us every other Wednesday. And if you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. Follow us on Instagram at @ComingHomeWell_BTS or on Twitter at @ComingHomeWell. Thanks again. And until all are home and all are well.